Our scripture today is found in the book of Matthew. Matthew 25, verse 13 to 46. You're welcome to follow along in your pew Bible or a Bible you might have at home. And let's pray before we begin this. Lord Jesus, we thank you so very much for your love for each of us and how that love is shown by your word, that you have given us a lamp unto our feet, helping to guide us through this world. And we thank you, Lord, that we can read this together. We can study it with one another and know that your Holy Spirit is with us. We ask you for your mercies upon the sermon, that the sermon might be used for your glory and your honor, and that your light may somehow shine through it. Lord, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 25, 13 to 46. Hear now God's word. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothed you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. May we see you, O King. Okay, so Christ the King Sunday. We mentioned that to the children today. Now, Christ the King Sunday is always in the same spot every year in our Christian liturgical calendar. Where is that spot? Where can you find Christ the King Sunday? Any ideas? Sunday after Thanksgiving. Or really, a little more accurately, it's the Sunday prior to Advent. So it's the Sunday prior to Advent, because sometimes Advent falls right after, you know, right after Thanksgiving. So it would be that Sunday previous. So it's the Sunday after Advent. Now, Advent also has a special place in the Christian year. The first Sunday in Advent is always the very first Sunday of the Christian calendar of the new year. So next Sunday, when we gather together, December 3rd, we'll be celebrating the new year, which means this Sunday is the last Sunday of the Christian year. It always falls on the very last Sunday of the Christian year, and there's a purpose for that. And the purpose is this. Every year, the Christian calendar goes through Jesus' life. Starts with Advent, the birth of Jesus, and then goes all the way through to the very end. We have to go through Jesus' teachings. We got to go through Jesus' death, Jesus' resurrection, Jesus' ascension, and then we go through the church and how it was born through Pentecost, so on and so forth. And then finally, we get to Christ the King Sunday. Now, why is it at the end? In Revelation, we're told in the very last two chapters of Revelation that Jesus will be king and that there will be a new kingdom. This kingdom is what we celebrate on the very last Sunday, Christ the King Sunday. Now, this kingdom, or in Revelation, it always says that Jesus always is, always will be. Jesus is the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. So on the last Sunday of the year, we celebrate that Jesus is what we're looking forward to, is this is his kingdom. We will be a part of his kingdom. It's coming, and that we can always rely upon. So when we're tempted to say things like hell in a handbasket, or this world's falling apart, or things are going terribly, always remember Jesus has the last word. Christ's kingdom will reign upon earth forever. Now, our scripture today talks about what that kingdom will be like when Jesus comes again, sits on his throne, on his glorious thrones, and all the angels with him. Then the Son of Man will take all the people of the earth, all the kingdoms of the earth, gather them before him, and then separate them. We got to remember one thing about king, as we talk to the kids up here, is that a king's job is to take care of his kingdom or her kingdom. There's no doubt about that. Make sure that they are taken care of and loved and cared for and all that stuff. But the king is also concerned with justice, making sure justice is done. And so this is the justice portion that God is taking care of. Jesus separates them into two groups, the sheep and the goats. I do this for your benefit, the right and the left. And then there's stipulations as to why the sheep and the goats. And we read that already. And it's based upon how they act. Now, as Christians, we learn that the way into heaven is through Jesus Christ. And I think that one of the things this is saying is that as we love one another and take care of the least of these, we do so through the love of Christ. So the stipulations are this. If you're a list person, you can write the list down and check it off. Am I doing this? Am I doing this? Am I doing this? If you would like. Feed the hungry. Give drink to the thirsty. Invite the stranger. Clothe those who are naked. Take care of the sick. And those who are in prison, take care of those who are in prison. Now, usually when I preach this, of course, it's do that. I mean, and then we can stop there, do that. That's a good thing to do. Now, we all have limits. We can't do everything, but God does call us to take care of those whom God places in our life in some way. To ignore that is to be a goat, and in the goats, they get pushed off. They're not in the kingdom. And the reason is because their outlook and their focus is themselves. That those of us who are on this earth are built for relationships. And those relationships are to take care and love and nurture one another. But when you ignore that and take care of only yourself and you use the relationships either as a weapon or to self-fulfill, then you're not using it for God's glory. And so Christ tells us and reminds us in this parable to take care of one another. But as I was preparing this service yesterday, choosing the hymns for us to listen to and sing, one of the hymns that I came across was this one. You know the song, right? Open the eyes of my heart. I'll play it. So if you don't know it, you'll hear it, or you might recognize it. And as I listened to this song again, I was going to put it at the beginning, but it made me realize just how apt this is to the sermon. And so I put it near the sermon, and we're going to listen to this real soon. But open the eyes of my heart. So if God had said to the people, when they asked, Lord, when did we do this or when didn't we do this? And Jesus said, well, when you did it for the least of these, you did it for me. When we think of opening the eyes of my heart, we think of seeing God in all places. And we talk about this a lot. Seeing God in the middle of crises, seeing God in the middle of storms, seeing God in the middle of heartache, seeing God in the middle of the difficult things. Or seeing God in seeing God in nature, or in the beauty, my favorite, and if I could get one, I would totally get a pet deer. I just love deer. And seeing God in the deer, in the squirrels, you know, in a walk in the middle of the woods, and seeing God in the leaves falling, in the leaves budding, in the flowers. We don't have any flowers now, but just seeing God all around us. But then, paired with the scripture we just read, it gives us the greatest of challenges, and that's seeing God in people. That when you serve people, you serve God. That God is inhabited in each and every one of us, a part of God, a piece of God, being made in the image of God. And I tell you what, this world has a lot of judgments that it throws out all the time, especially concerning the least of these. When we see people in prison, when we see people people who are poor, when we see people who are naked, when we see people who are hungry, when we see people who are sick, we have judgments that are thrown out there. Well, they brought it upon themselves because they didn't take care of themselves. They brought it on themselves because of poor judgment, poor life choices that they made. Or, they should have been doing those drugs to begin with, and now they're seeking my help. And all this stuff, over and over, we judge. And in such a way that keeps us from seeing God in them. That keeps us from only seeing the poor choices, only seeing the bad things, only seeing the dirt and the crud and the negativity. But yet, Jesus reminds us that Christ resides in each and every one of them, each and every one of us. To deny our love and our help and whatever we can give is to deny Christ himself. You know, and I don't want, Jesus might, but I don't want to come up here and say, give absolutely everything. Jesus did, and so maybe we should. But we do have our limits in life. I, and in reflection, you as an individual, were not created for everything. But we were created for something. We may not be able to help every poor person, every addict, everyone out there who needs help. But we were created to help somebody. You may have in your life an abuser, someone who beat you up, someone who took advantage of you, and you may not be able to help them. Or shouldn't because of safety concerns. And that's fine. God will send someone else in their life to help them, but there is someone in your life that you can recognize the Christ in them. God is being a part of their life. The joy of this is that whenever anyone else sees nothing but trash, you will get to see the quality. You'll get to see the Spirit of God dwelling with them and Christ's love being lavished upon them. And they will be so thankful. Because someone actually sees them. We're going to close with this, and I'll say benediction afterwards, but this is our prayer for today as we think about Christ's kingdom, that we might see Christ's kingdom, even parts of it here, in one another and in others we encounter. Close with this benediction today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Now and forever. Amen. and amen. Go in peace.